A funny thing happened at last service. You know how there's this little sign up here, a little that says silence your cell phones? I didn't silence mine, so right during my prayer, my phone went off. A reminder, silence your cell phone. Pastor Charlie is on a needed vacation, and I'll be teaching the Father's Day message. And it's very interesting in preparing for this message. I knew a while back that I was going to be teaching on Father's Day because Pastor Charlie had already made a commitment for this particular weekend. And so I knew that I was going to be teaching Father's Day. Pastor Charlie had told me, and I had a lot of time to think about it. And there was many ideas, many scriptures that are applicable to Father's Day. And I wanted to pick the best one. In the end, I decided that I needed to share my heart with you, to address some concerns on the direction of the church and our Christian walk. You see, today's message, yes, it's for fathers. It's for grandfathers. But it's also for grandmothers. It's also grandfathers. It's also for all of us. So just because you're not a father, just because you're not a grandfather, doesn't mean that you need to, okay, click off and I'll see you after the service. No, this message is for all of us. It's very important that you take this message to heart. Not because of that I'm giving it, not because I prepared it, no. But because this is going to be the word of the Lord. We're going to be studying the scriptures. And there are sometimes that we need to be pointed to certain things. Pastor Charlie, in recent times, has been talking about the end times. He's been dealing with the book of Revelation and what's going to be happening. A couple of Sundays ago, he taught on the rapture. He's taught on the day of the Lord. And again, we're talking end time scenarios. What's going to happen in the future? What's going to happen? When is Jesus Christ coming back? Pastor Charlie has also been teaching on the book of Genesis. And we spent quite a few weeks, actually months, on the first 11 chapters, on the foundations. You see, and I've voiced this to you before, and Pastor Charlie has voiced this in his teachings, if for some reason we do not believe what was written in the scriptures in the first 11 chapters of Genesis, then it does absolutely no good to read the book of Revelation or anything between Revelation and Genesis. If we don't believe the book of Genesis, we have no foundation for our faith. Well, the same thing with Revelation. Revelation talks about the end times. It's talking about what things that are going to happen. And I've heard Pastor Charlie teach the book of Revelation. In fact, I've heard Pastor Charlie teach the book of Revelation probably more than anybody here. He's gone through it about four times. I've been here for every time. But I guarantee you, this is the best time. This is the best teaching on the book of Revelation that Pastor Charlie has ever done. And I encourage you that if you haven't been here, that you get the CDs. And if you haven't been here, make an effort to attend. We're still not finished, so you've got time. You can catch up, you can attend, but it's a wonderful teaching on the book of Revelation that he's doing. And I know that it seems like, well, you know, we're dealing on the end times. Why are you guys in the end times? Come on. There's other stuff in the scriptures. Well, it's very important to know what's going to happen in the end times. It's very important to know, do we really believe that it's going to happen? Anyway, it's not a fairy tale. The teachings on the rapture, the teachings on the day of the Lord, they're timely. There's things happening today that have never happened before in history. And there are things that are happening in society and in our walk that have never happened before. And we need to address those things today. So, this is going to be an exhortation and an encouragement. For some, there's an example that I was given many years ago. I was told that when you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, not comparing you all to dogs, but the saying goes that if you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the dog that yelps the loudest is the one that got hit. Well, today the scripture's going out, and for some, it's going to be comforting. For others, it's going to be convicting. And there might be times that there's going to be a little bit of a spiritual yelp, a spiritual cry coming out from you, because some of the scriptures are going to be convicting. There's going to be some things that are going to be pointed out that they're going to go, whoa, wait, you're treading on holy ground here. It hurts. But that's something you're going to have to deal with the Lord with. But before we start, and I think it's good timing because we need to pray for your fathers. So if you're a father, a grandfather, please stand. Now, there's one other person that needs to stand today that I believe is worthy of double honor. If you are a single mom and you've been raising your kids alone, I want you to stand. You're standing because you are doing the job of a father. You have done the job of a father and mother. You deserve a double honor on Mother's Day and Father's Day. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for these fathers, these mothers that are standing, Lord. I ask you, Father, you would touch them, you would bless them. I thank you, Father, for calling them to be fathers and mothers. I ask you, Father, that you would watch over the children. That you, Father, would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Guide us in all that we're to do. I ask you, Father, and I go before the congregation, that you would touch each one of us, Father. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Open our hearts, open our eyes to your word, Lord. And Lord, that if there's anything in our lives that we need to come before you and confess, that we would confess right now, that we would ask for forgiveness. Father, that we would come clean before you and be clean before you. Please forgive us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Congratulations. Thank you. Pastor Charlie again has been teaching on the end times. End times is very important to us. But you know that Pastor Charlie doesn't just dwell on the end times. You know if you've been here for any time at all, you get the word, the whole word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Whatever book we're in, you're going to get it all. And right now, he's been talking about the end times. He's been talking about the book of Revelation, and it's been very near and dear to his heart. And it's near and dear to my heart. What's going to happen in the end? You see, I accepted Jesus Christ because of the end times, an end times teaching that I heard. And we'll get into that in a little bit, but It's very important to see what's happening in this world today, how the end time scenarios are being set up. But what's important to see also is, what is society doing to the church? What is the church doing to society? As fathers, as parents, as believers, what is going on? What's going on in this world? What's going on in our walk? So we're going to begin in 2 Timothy chapter 3. So if you would turn, open your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in these things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Let's pray. Father, I ask you that you would just open up the Scriptures to us today, Lord. Father, I ask that you would give me the words to speak, that they would be your words, not mine. Father, touch us. Open our hearts, open our minds. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In this letter to Timothy, in this particular chapter, Paul says, "But know this, Timothy, in the last days, perilous times will come." Now, this was written a long time ago. He's talking to Timothy saying, hey, it's the last days. The last days are coming. They've been expecting Jesus Christ ever since Jesus Christ died and was resurrected. So, you know, the church has kind of become dull of hearing at times when we talk about, well, Jesus Christ is coming. Ah, yeah, they've been saying it for years. My mom, I would tell her about the fact that Jesus Christ was coming. She said, James, ever since I was a child, back in the 20s and 30s, there were people carrying signs, the world is ending, Jesus Christ is coming. She says, I'm in my 50s, I'm in my 60s, nothing's happened. They're going to be saying this for a long time. Don't worry about it. Live your life. Enjoy life. Don't worry about the end. It'll take care of itself. And that's how many people are. Well, the end times. Come on. We got to live life. Live in the present. But you know, the teachings on end times, the end times teachings. The end times theology, when it talks about the end times, the day of the Lord, the rapture, when it talks about Jesus Christ is coming back, those are warnings. They're telling us, get ready, prepare yourself. Be prepared. Because in these last days, perilous times are coming. Sometimes you have to liken the teaching of prophecy and the teaching on the end times to a weather report. You all have read recently, I'm sure, about the tornadoes in Oklahoma, the tornadoes in Texas. How people were warned. You've read in the past about the hurricanes. You know, how the forecasters would tell them, you need to evacuate, you need to get away, find shelter, find a safe place. And what happens? What do people say? Well, you know, the hurricanes come every year. Nothing's ever happened to us. You see in the news where they interview people and they're in a bar, they're all partying. Hey, we're going to party, we're going to get through this. And nothing's ever happened, and even if it hits, we're going to be safe. I remember in one hurricane, they interviewed a fisherman, and he was in his boat with his family. And they said, why are you here? They told you to evacuate. Hey, I've invested all my life into this boat. This is everything I own. If I leave, they're going to loot it. You know, it's my life. But what about your wife and kids? We're going to be safe. We've ridden out storms before. Nothing's going to happen. They never found that family. They died. When the tornadoes hit in Moore, I had a friend who lives in Oklahoma City, and he was writing, and he said, this is the first time I've ever had this happen, and I've ever heard this, where they're telling us not to seek shelter in our bathrooms, not to seek shelter in the inner rooms of our house, but that we need to evacuate, we need to get out of the way. He said, the only shelter, the only people that are going to be safe are the people that are underground. And yet, people heard the warnings and they sought shelter in their bathrooms. They went to their bathtub, they put a mattress. And if you've seen pictures of Moore, Oklahoma, you saw that there was nothing left but the foundation. There was no bathtubs. There was no safety. But you see, people have become dull of hearing. They hear the warnings. They heard, hey, there's a hurricane coming. There's a tornado coming. They've come before. We've gotten through. We'll get through again. The Bible tells us Jesus Christ is coming. They've been saying it for hundreds, thousands of years. When was the Bible written? Look, they're still saying it. We're still hearing. It doesn't apply to us right now. Well, we are in the last days. You're going to keep hearing it from us. We are in the last days. We want you to be prepared. It says in verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. In one of the men's conferences that I attended, there was a pastor who, this was about 10, 15 years ago, and he said, you know, in my studies, I've been doing a study of society, especially in the United States. And one of the things he said was that back in the 40s, 50s, there was a magazine called Life. Life. Beautiful pictures of people all over the world. It covered all the news. The beautiful people, the people that were struggling. Pictures, beautiful pictures, Life. And he said, you know, Then we came to a point in our society that it wasn't about life, it was about people. So there was People magazine, focused on people. And then came Us magazine. It wasn't about all the people, it was about us. And then he said, now, at that time, he says, we have self. It's no longer about all the people. It's no longer about us. It's about self. Me. And you know the magazines now. It's all, it is about self. How to improve yourself. How to be, live to your 50, live to your 60. How to look beautiful. How, everything is about self. And Paul described this. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. No need to describe that. Boasters, proud blasphemers. Think about when you go to a restaurant nowadays, what's coming out of people's mouths. Disobedient to parents. You know, when there was a, I'm going to be talking about Facebook quite a few times because sometimes the posts there are wonderful. I love reading the posts, the things that people post. And one of the posts ran something like, if I had talked to my parents the way kids talk to their parents today, I wouldn't be alive. I remember trying to talk to my parents the way some kids talk to their parents today. And I thought I lived with the Zorro of the belt. My dad could unbuckle that belt with one hand, whip it out, have it around his hand, and down in one motion. It seemed that way to me. And I'm surprised sometimes that I did live through my childhood. There was a time when it seemed to him, I guess, that that thin belt that he wore wasn't enough, so he bought this Santa Claus belt. That sucker was big. I got spanked with it one time, and then it disappeared. It just disappeared. After I moved out, when they were remodeling the house, in the back of the closet where there were overcoats, they found the Santa Claus belt. No idea how it got there. But, you know, nowadays, we don't do that. We don't spank. It's not good. Even if the Bible says you're supposed to spank your kids, they're starting to be more and more disobedient. You're seeing that. There was another post that back in 1969, there was, it showed a group, a set of parents with a kid in a school, and they were in a teacher, and they were looking at the kid and said, "Explain these grades. Explain these bad grades to us." And then it said, "Now," and they're turning. And they're looking at the teacher and they're going, "Explain these bad grades." And the kid's standing there like this. No longer are the kids being held responsible. And we wonder why they're disobedient, why they're unthankful, why they're unholy, why this generation is becoming unloving, unforgiving, without self-control. Despisers of good. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of self. Lovers of God, forgive me. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Think about it. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. What choices are made? Where do they learn that it's not important to study the Word? Where do they learn that, you know, we got a party to go to, we really Let's just skip church. Let's go to the party. Or there's a picnic. And if we don't get there early, get the best spot, it's going to be horrible. So we'll skip church. We'll do something. We'll read the scripture or something. Where do they learn these things? Having a form of godliness but denying its power. There was another post on Facebook, and it was a sign, an actual sign from a church. And it said, it was a Methodist church. Not that the Methodists have a corner on bad things, but it was a Methodist church. And it said, God prefers kind atheists to hateful Christians. You know, it's become an accepted teaching in the church to have tolerance, to be kind. Yes, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to help the poor. Think of the poor. That's why we have the food pantry. That's why we have outreaches to the poor. But, you know, this tolerance. You know, we need to be accepting of different lifestyles. We need to be accepting of different beliefs. I guarantee you one thing. There will never be a Muslim cleric standing behind this pulpit teaching you about Islam. And yet, in some churches, they have pulpit sharing where they've brought Muslim clerics, where they've brought Hindus, where they've brought other forms of religion to teach their congregation in, I guess, to be tolerant so that everybody will know and be accepting. It's a form of godliness, I guess. But they deny the power because in these same churches, these same congregations, they deny the power of God. They deny the power of Jesus Christ to save. They deny the work of the Holy Spirit. I've told you before, Pastor Trotty has mentioned it too, there are seminaries where they have these professors that are teaching their classes that the scriptures are not entirely correct. And they're teaching that there really was not a virgin birth. That really it's not necessary for someone to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior to get to heaven. That there are many ways to heaven. You know, if you've been here any time at all, if you've read the scriptures for yourselves, there's one way to heaven, one God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and he's the only way. There is no other way. But there are churches nowadays, in fact, we who believe that there is one way. We who believe in Jesus Christ, we are in the minority. And you have to open your eyes to that. This, President Obama was correct when he said, this is not a Christian nation. And there was an uproar. There was an uproar when he said, oh, this is not a Christian nation. But if you think about it, we are not a Christian nation. Not in the sense of true Christianity. You who believe in Jesus Christ, we who believe in Jesus Christ, we're in the minority. Because you see, the Christians that they're counting, they count the Jehovah's Witnesses, they count the Mormons, and they count all these other churches who deny that Jesus Christ is the Lord. They're all considered Christians. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. And that's where we're at now. When we talk about the end times and we say, well, it's getting closer, it's getting closer, you have to look at these things. You have to see that these things were not happening in the past, not as in as great a manner as they are now. I'm 62. I've seen things become more and more and more acceptable. Things that were never accepted in the past are now common. I've seen where bad is now good and good is now bad. And that's a sign of the end times. But in verse 10, Paul tells Timothy, he says, Timothy, look, you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. When he's saying, Timothy, look, you know my life. You know where I've been. I've written to you. You've heard how I suffered in giving out the word. I've suffered my calling, these persecutions that came to me. But Timothy, the Lord delivered me from them all. And sometimes, you know, we've kidded about it and we've talked about it and laughed how sometimes we talk about, oh, we're being persecuted at work, you know. There's people that are complaining about me praying, or people complain about my radio station. Oh, they're stealing my lunch. Oh, persecution. People, we are so insulated in the United States. We have no idea what persecution is. We have no idea what it is to be a Christian, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to accept Him as a Lord and Savior, and know that the consequence is going to be death. That if anybody finds out about it, we're going to die. In some countries, they're not going to die, but they're going to go to prison. There are people that are coming to the Lord right now in Iran and Iraq, knowing that in these Muslim nations, to deny Muhammad, to deny Allah, is certain death. And yet, it's not reported in the news, but there's record numbers of people who are coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who are willing to say, I'm accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and if I die, I die. But I will not renounce the faith. But in the United States, we are so insulated. We have no idea. And when we read about it, it's like, it's so far away. But it's happening. And Paul is telling him, all these things have happened to me, but Timothy, God delivered me. When you read, many times you read all these devotions, and on Facebook a lot of people post scripture. And they're very nice scriptures, uplifting scriptures and everything. However, the next verse is one that I have never seen. Verse 12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. If you desire to live for Christ, you're going to suffer persecution. That's never been posted. Because we don't want to hear that one. That's not something we want to go through, persecution. But it's coming. There's going to come a time when there's going to be a real shaking out of the church. And you're going to have to make a choice. And you know, sometimes when you hear teachings like this, there are people that go, you know, all these dire warnings, how serious? It doesn't really, it's not going to happen. We need to be prepared, because if the scriptures say it's going to happen, it's going to happen. In verse 13, Paul writes, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." I don't know if you've read in the news or you've seen some of the interviews, but there is at least three men who claim to be Jesus Christ that are in the world today. And they have big followings. I believe there's one in Puerto Rico, there's one in Florida, and there's one in one of the Eastern European countries. They claim that they are Jesus Christ and have returned. And people are following them. There's a deception that's taking place in the church, and it's just creeping in and creeping in and creeping in. And many Christians are totally unaware of what's happening. The interesting thing is that there are many Christians who have broken away from the faith and started following false teaching. You see, if we don't know the word, we're going to be deceived. But Paul continues in verse 14, and he tells Timothy, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from you from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And he says, Timothy, look, you need to continue in all these things that you've learned. Everything that you know, you need to continue in that. And you need to remember, who did you learn these from? Well, he learned from Paul. We know that. And he also learned from his mom and from his grandmother. And what does it say? It says, from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. You see, that's a very key verse here. It says from childhood. That's as fathers, as mothers, as believers. That's where our focus should be. Are our children being taught the word? You see, Timothy didn't just learn from Paul. It wasn't just when Timothy was taken to the church that all of a sudden, okay, here you go, Paul. Here's Timothy. Teach him. And then they'd pick him up after church and, okay, let's go home and let's live like the world. We'll get clean again next week. That's not where it's at. And you see, that's what's happening today. That is what's happening in the church today. Our kids are not being taught at home. And then they're brought for counseling 15, 16 years later, and it's almost like, here, fix them. Well, how do you fix something that has no foundation, has no motor? You see, as fathers, as parents, as believers, we need to be giving out the Word of God to our children and to all those around us. I was reading, there was a little deal that said, when Simon says, do something, we do it. When Jesus says, go out into all the world, we say, we'll pray about it. Simon says, jump, we jump. Jesus says, go out to all the world, let me pray about it. Let me see if that's where I really need to be. We're taught, we just talked about, in Deuteronomy, where it says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Is that what's taking place in our homes? I can't answer that for you. That's something that, this is one of those spiritual rocks that's being thrown right now. And if you just raise a spiritual yelp, you know you're not doing what you're supposed to. Are you teaching your children? Are we teaching our children? You know, all of us fail. I failed. There were times that I didn't teach the children. I thank God that Betty did. But we need to be teaching. We need to be sharing. Because it says, from childhood, Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That is our goal. That our kids, that our friends, our family, our neighbors will all come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we're to teach them the Scriptures. We're to give them it because the Scriptures are by inspiration of God. And they're profitable. It says they're profitable for doctrine, for the rules, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. There's something happening in the church today. There's something happening in society. Society is crumbling. And the church is crumbling with it. When I accepted the Lord, I accepted the Lord back during the Jesus movement. I didn't even know what the Jesus movement was, but I just happened to come to the Lord at that time. But the Jesus movement was really one of the last great revivals that we've had. It was a time when people were leaving the church, when young people did not want to come to church. And that was the time of the hippies. That was a time when Calvary Chapel came into being. That was a time when mass numbers of kids accepted the Lord in a setting that was outside of the church walls. It wasn't hymns that... But the Word of God was being taught. The worship choruses were being written. There were no worship choruses before then. But back then, it was nothing for a congregation twice this size to stand up and start doing Father Abraham as a praise and worship song. How many of you do not know what Father Abraham is? Everybody knows Father Abraham? You don't know what Father Abraham is. Father Abraham is this really silly song where the people are singing and they're doing gopher gopher. They're jumping up and down like kangaroos. It's not like barking or laughing in the spirit, but it was a silly song. But back then, it was a worship song. It was just a praise song because everything was being written. There was very simple songs. Father, I adore you. I love you, Lord. Don't you know it's time to praise the Lord? Simple, simple songs. And the kids flocked, and the Spirit flowed, and great churches came out of that. But this is my fear, and this is what I'm seeing. If you would, open your Bibles to Judges chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 10. It reads, "When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them. And they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baals and Ashtoreths." This generation that they're talking about, this was the generation of Joshua. They'd seen everything. They'd heard from their parents of how God took the children of Israel out of Egypt. They'd seen the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. They'd seen how their armies had defeated all these armies in the Promised Land. How God had worked. But it says that when this generation was gathered to the Father, when this generation died, another generation came. It arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. And that's sad. Because it says that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served the Baals, that served the gods of those countries. And they forsook, they gave up their belief in God, who had brought them out of Egypt. And it says they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them, and they bowed to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served the Baals and Ashtoreths. My fear, what I'm seeing, is that there is another generation. This generation is going to pass. But I'm seeing that there's a younger generation that's coming up after us that doesn't know the Lord. They haven't been taught. They're not ready. They've turned away. And that's our responsibility. It happened on our watch. Are we teaching the kids? Are we teaching our kids? And it's really sad what happens in the book of Judges, because you see that the children of Israel, it says the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. That's repeated several times. And they served the Baals. They did evil. And then, after they did evil, God sent judgment. And then they turned to God again. Oh, God, we're sorry, we're sorry. We repent. So God sent a judge to save them. And then it says, basically, I'm giving you a paraphrase, but it says, hey, there was peace. And then it says they did evil in the sight of the Lord again. And it's a cycle. They do evil, they get judged, they ask God to help them, God helps them, and then it's a downward cycle. Until we get to verse 25 of the last chapter in the book of Judges. And it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. My brothers and sisters, that's what's happening in the church today. People are hearing the teachings. People are hearing the word of God being taught. But once they leave the door, everyone is doing what's right in their own eyes. God sees what we're doing. You know, that's our sin is between us and God, each one of us individually. But do you know that your children are watching you? Do you know that do as I say, not as I do, doesn't work? If they don't see you opening the Word, they don't see you praying, if you don't teach them, they're not going to do it. I've mentioned this before. We get your kids for an hour and a half. 1 hour and a half. Because most people only come to church on Sunday. So we have 1 hour and a half to teach your kids. And for the rest of the time, they're being taught by the world. When they go to school, they're being taught tolerance. Be accepting of every lifestyle. Even though the Bible tells you that you're not supposed to. And they're being taught that the Bible is not the Word of God. But we get them for an hour and a half. And many, I would venture to say many, are not being taught anything else during the week. They don't read the Word. They're not being taught to pray. And everyone is doing what's right in their own eyes. Malachi chapter 2, verse 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, in what way have we wearied him? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or where is the God of justice? Ah, Jesus Christ isn't coming back. They've been saying it for years. Where is this God of justice? And we also, we're hearing it. Everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord. God accepts everybody. There's not one way to heaven. Don't be fooled. There's many ways to heaven. No, there's not. There's one. His name is Jesus Christ. Do your kids know this? Do your grandkids know this? Do your neighbors? This is your family. There's a, if you would, we'll be closing soon. 2 Kings chapter 20. And we're going to begin in verse 12. At that time, Berodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, the king of Babylon, sent letters in a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah was attentive to them and showed them all the house of his treasures, the silver and gold, the spices and precious ointment, and all his armory, all that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, what did these men say, and where did they come to you, or where did they come to you from? So Hezekiah said, they came from a far country, from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in your house? So Hezekiah answered, they have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. For he said, will there not be peace and truth, at least in my days? When I read this, it's a great story, but that last verse, I think his last phrase is the most selfish phrase in the Bible. Because basically what Hezekiah is saying, you know what? I'm really sorry that this has to happen to my kids. I'm really sorry that they're going to be taken away to Babylon. The country's going to crumble and nothing's going to be left. I'm really sorry about all that, you know? It really hurts. They're going to be eunuchs. It's going to hurt. But at least there's going to be peace in my time. I'm not going to have to go through it. My brothers and sisters, sometimes we take that attitude without knowing it. Sometimes when we don't teach our kids, knowing what the consequences are, knowing that there will come a time, as Pastor Charlie has been teaching in the book of Revelation, there's going to come a time of judgment. There's going to come a time of wrath that we're not taking seriously. And we're almost saying, well, you know what? At least I'm saved. And I know it sounds cruel. I know it sounds like, boy, you're being very judgmental. That's very condemning of you. No, it's not, people. It's that we need to open our eyes. We need to open our hearts. We need to take it seriously. What's going to happen to our kids? What's going to happen to our grandkids? What's going to happen to our neighbors? Do we really believe that Jesus Christ is the only way? Do we really believe that if someone dies and they don't have Jesus Christ, that they're not going to heaven? Let me mention the other word, that they're going to hell. Do we really believe that? And if we do, why are we not teaching our kids? Why are we not being assured that they know the word, that they have been taught? My brothers and sisters, fathers, mothers, grandparents, I wish I could have given you a message that would have had you dancing out these doors instead of running out these doors. But it's serious. We are in the last days. It's serious. We need to know. I cannot emphasize, I cannot tell you enough times. You need to bring your children up in the knowledge of the Word. Give them the tools. Give them the armor that they need. Let's not be selfish. Give them the time that they need. Give them a chance. Let the Lord work. If you would, please stand. Thank you very much for coming today. I pray that it's not a total downer of a day. But I do pray that the Lord speaks to your hearts. I pray that you take it seriously. There's going to be people here to pray for you. And we do need some additional prayer counselors up here. If you need prayer, I ask you, please come. If you need to ask the Lord to strengthen you as a parent, to strengthen you as in your marriage, whatever, come. If you don't know who Jesus Christ is, if you've never given your life over to Jesus Christ, come. They'll pray with you. Don't leave here without the knowledge that you are a child of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you.